How does a Christian make plans for the future? How do we decide where we're going to live, where we're going to travel to, what kind of job we're going to take, who we're going to spend time with, what kind of ministries we're going to be involved in? Does the Scripture give us any guidance on making plans for the future? And obviously, because I'm speaking about it this morning, yes, the Scripture does give us guidance for making plans for the future. In fact, our passage for this morning appears on first reading to be a simple travel log of the Apostle Paul and Timothy, as well as one other person that I'm going to look at real quick and remember, Apollos. Timothy and Apollos and Paul. So their travel plans. And so as we look at these plans, it's easy to go, I don't know. Is that really what this is about? Is this message about making godly plans? Was that Paul's plan when he wrote this letter to the church at Corinth? Is that really what this is about? And I would say no. I don't think that was the original plan of Paul when he penned this letter. I think Paul was telling them about travel plans, about what he's planning to do, what Timothy's planning to do, what Apollos is planning to do. But I also know that God tells us that His Word is useful, always useful for teaching and rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. It's given to us for a purpose. And so I think what we can do when we come to passages like this is that we can take some principles of the way Paul lived his life and Timothy did, the way Apollos lived his life, and the way Paul speaks to the Corinthians about it, and take those principles and apply them to our life when we want to make plans for traveling and for any other plans in our lives. So let's open up our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 16. We're going to look at verses 5 through 12 this morning. After I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you a while, or even spend the winter, so that you can help me on my journey wherever I go. I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. If Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying on the work of the Lord just as I am. No one then should refuse to accept him. Send him on his way in peace so that he may return to me. I am expecting him along with the brothers. Now about our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to go to you with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has the opportunity. So what do we take from this passage that initially appears to be a travel log, but what do we get from God's heart for us as Christians in reading about these plans? I have 10 principles that I pulled out of this passage. So we're going to take them in a little bit of a quick fire succession this morning. You've got notes there in your bulletin. If you want to use them, you can write down these principles and go back and check them later and see if it lines up with other places in Scripture. But I think I don't often preach this way, 5 principles to have, 10 principles, but this one just kind of lent itself to that, and I couldn't think of anything else that the Lord would have for us except to just present these to you in this way. So no 4-point message this morning or 3-point message. You're going to get all 10 of them really fast. So hang on to your bootstraps. Here we go. First of all, our plans should be run through a kingdom filter. As you look through this passage and you see the plans that Apollos and Timothy are making, it's clear that they have kingdom eyes. They're wanting to travel for the sake of the kingdom of God. And some of you might say, well, yeah, you know, of course they're wanting to do that. They're missionaries. That's what they're supposed to do, right? Is travel for the Lord and tell people about Jesus and help encourage the churches. And I just want to say that we need to be careful about making a large distinction between clergy and laity, or preachers and church attenders, or missionaries and just regular old Christians. I don't think the Bible ever really does that. I mean, obviously the Lord gives gifts. The Lord gives people to the church as leaders, and they ought to lead in that way. But every person, the scripture says, who's a believer in Jesus Christ is called to fulfill the Great Commission, to take God's message, to make disciples of other people, to have a heart for the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus came proclaiming when he came to this earth. That was his main message. Repent, be ready. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. It's near you. It's among you. And then Jesus told us when we prayed how to pray. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God has a heart for us that we would have eyes that think about his kingdom. In other words, we want the rule and reign of Christ to be in our hearts and to be in the hearts of all the people that we love around us and to people to the ends of the earth. We want the kingdom of God to grow in us. We want him to rule and reign. And that's what Paul was doing. We see here in verse 5, after I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Why is Paul traveling? Why is he leaving Ephesus, where he's got a great productive ministry, and going to travel through Macedonia on a long, arduous land journey and then come to Corinth and talk to them there and then hope that they're going to send him on somewhere else? Why is he doing all that? He's doing that because he has a heart for the kingdom of God. He's praying for them. He's encouraging them. He's helping them to understand God's word. He's doing kingdom work. And by the way, he wasn't just a preacher. Paul was a tent maker too. He did work. He did an everyday 9-to-5 job and then proclaimed the gospel as he went along. And I would say to you, God has called you to be a kingdom-minded project manager, a kingdom-minded accountant, a kingdom-minded teacher, a kingdom-minded computer technician, a kingdom-minded retiree, a kingdom-minded salesman, a kingdom-minded stay-at-home mom, a kingdom-minded vacationer even, as you travel. All of your life is to be filtered through, what does God want for me today and how does he want me to help build his kingdom? Who does he want me to share Jesus with? Who does he want me to encourage in the Lord? Who does he want me to pray for? So, our plan should be run through a kingdom building filter. Secondly, our plan should be wise. Paul says, perhaps I will stay with you a while or even spend the winter. See, Paul had a desire to fulfill the kingdom, but he also had a noggin that said, if I travel in the Mediterranean in the winter, it's not going to be good. There are going to be shipwrecks, more than I've already had in my ministry. It's not a wise thing. And so he was thinking, okay, I'm going to travel here, go there, but probably best to spend the winter a little while in this place. He made wise plans. And I would say to you too, as you think about being a man of God or a woman of God, sometimes you go, okay, hey, I want to fulfill this, want to do this. But sometimes we have to say, okay, God, you put this desire in my heart. How does that line up with practical, just smarts? How does that line up with wise thinking? In other words, maybe you'd say in January, oh, I've got this heart for my friend in Bend. You know, he really needs to know Jesus. I need to tell him now about Jesus. Well, you might use Skype rather than traveling over the mountain with the bald tires on your car, right? In January, you make wise choices about what you're going to do. Maybe you've been invited to go on a mission trip to Costa Rica for 2 months. And you think, oh, this is an amazing opportunity. And yet you're working at a job that God provided to you that only gives you 3 weeks of vacation. You might say, okay, Lord, well, maybe I can go for 2 of the weeks and come back. And maybe when I'm retired, I can do this later. Or maybe I'm supposed to take this job and shove it. But I'm going to try to work in the ways that it seems like God's been guiding me and make wise plans for the future rather than just jumping from one thing to the next in a willy-nilly sort of way. Use the wisdom that God has given you. Our plans, thirdly, should follow the desire of our hearts. Should follow the desire of our hearts. Paul says, I want to see you now. I don't want to see you now and make only a passing visit. So Paul is saying, hey, I could come to you right now, but it'd have to be really short. And what I really want is to spend time with you. I really want to engage with you for a while. He wants to have a good long visit with his brothers and sisters in Christ. And there's something to be said for following what we want to do. Sometimes I think we get sort of paralyzed in the Christian walk, thinking, what does God want me to do? Does he want me to do this? Want me to do that? I'm just going to wait here and do nothing until I get some sort of feeling in the pit of my stomach, and then I know it's the Lord, and then I'm going to go do this. Or the Lord's going to have to appear in some bright light and say, go do this before I do something. You know what? God wants you to be involved in kingdom work. And if he puts a desire in your heart to do something that's kingdom work, unless he gives you some big roadblock in some way, or you get some wise counsel from someone who says don't do this, or it doesn't seem wise at the time, just do it. Get involved and do it. Do something that you desire. The psalmist famously said in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Does that mean, boy, I really desire to have a Learjet so that I can travel all over the world and someone pays for the fuel and the pilot and everything else, and so God's going to give that to me? No, not necessarily. See, what we do as Christians is we delight ourselves in the Lord. In other words, we get into His Word on a daily basis. We pray. We talk to Him throughout the day. We're engaged with God. And as we do that, it seems as if the Lord's heart and His plans become our heart and our plans. And so the desires that we have inside of us as we delight ourselves in the Lord, become passionate worshipers of Him, our desires become, oh Lord, I want to do this or that for you. And the Lord says, go do it. Go do it. Kevin DeYoung, in his book Just Do Something, says these words: go marry someone, provided you're equally yoked and you actually like being with each other. Go get a job, provided it's not wicked. Go live somewhere, in something, with somebody or nobody. But put aside the passivity and the quest for complete fulfillment and the perfectionism and the preoccupation with the future. And for God's sake, start making some decisions in your life. Don't wait for the liver shiver. If you're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, you will be in God's will. So just go out and do something. How about that, church? Some of you guys are sitting there going, what is he talking about, man? This seems really unspiritual. No, it's completely spiritual. God's put His Holy Spirit inside of you, and you're sitting around doing nothing because you think God hasn't led me somewhere yet. You know what? The gift God's put inside of you, the heart that He's put inside of you, the passion He's given you to do something, the wisdom and talents He's given you, go use those for the kingdom of God. Put them into practice. Make some plans. Follow through. If the Lord wants to change them, He'll change them. Fourthly, our plans should have a relational element. I hope to spend some time with you. Sometimes we get so busy in our kingdom building, whether it's real kingdom building or false idol kind of kingdom building, that we forget that God's called us to be in relationships with people. He's called us to be in a family as Christians, to love each other. Families are to spend time with each other, or they grow distant from each other. As you make your plans, remember God's given you relationships with certain people for a reason. And unless God specifically releases you from those relationships to pursue other relationships, keep on pursuing those relationships. What this means is you ought to have people over to your house for dinner every once in a while. That's a spiritual thing. Build a relationship with someone. Talk to them about what's going on in their lives. Pray for them. Spend time with them in the Lord. I think in terms of this about Pastor Bill and Jeanette Kramer. Some of you guys know they just retired and moved off to Texas. And immediately they get to Texas and 5 days later they're sending off a letter to their friends and people who pray for them. And they're asking this. How about this? He's 80 years old, older than 80 years old, I think. And his first letter back, he's in his retirement, finally his retirement, right, in Texas with his grandkids, and he prays, would you pray that God would give me 5 men in this church who I can invest in for the glory of God, right? Always investing in relationships, and yet still investing in the ones back here. Right, and he travels. When they travel all over the United States, they're stopping and seeing people that he's known for over 50 years of ministry, connecting with them in ways. And that's the way we ought to be too. You know, when we plan our trips, hey, plan to spend some time with people. Plan to engage with people. Plan to talk to them about the Lord. And keep people in the loop about what you're doing. And be in the loop about what other people are doing. And pray for each other. Be in relationships that build the kingdom. Next, our plans should be submissive to the will of God. Paul said that he hoped to do all of this if the Lord permits. He hopes to travel, go through Macedonia, come to them, spend the winter with them, spend some time with them, if the Lord permits or if the Lord wills. You know, we have some friends that are in another church tradition, and I think it may be part of their church tradition, but I think it's a pretty good one that, you know, we'll make plans for dinner with them. They're going to come over and, okay, I'll see you next Tuesday at 7 o'clock, if the Lord wills. Always at the end. We'll meet you at the aquarium with the kids Saturday afternoon, and we'll go through the aquarium if the Lord wills. She always puts that on the end, and it's like, is that like saying Jesus' name at the end of your prayers or something? It's something spiritual, but no, for her, it's a reminder. You know, I'm making these plans, but you know what? God might have something else, and I'm going to hold these things loosely for the Lord's glory. Sometimes we get all excited about the plans that we have, even in the Lord. I'm going to start this Bible study. We're going to go over here and do this thing, and we're going to make this thing happen. And sometimes we get so preoccupied with what our plan is that we're building a kingdom, but somehow we get off a track of what God's plan is. And that's okay. God's told us to go and do something, but we're supposed to hold our plans loosely to go forward with them, but hold them loosely and say, God, if you've got a different plan, okay. So I was walking in this way and you changed that plan. What we don't need to do is get all upset about it. Oh man, I was planning this for you, Lord, and now I got this flat tire, or now somebody in my family got sick, and what are you doing to me? I was planning to do this for you. We all say, you know what? That's the Lord's plan. If we hold our plans loosely, we say, okay, Lord, I was planning to do this, but something else came up. Okay, Lord, you've got some other plan. And you know what I know about God? I know that God works all things together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. That whatever His plan is, if this thing that I thought was best right now isn't His plan, God's got a better plan. He's got a better plan for my life right now and for the lives of the people that He's going to put me in touch with. And we just got to hold our plans loosely like that, knowing that God is in control. He is sovereign over the deployment of His people, and that includes you. God knows where He wants you. Next, as we make our plans, we should be on the lookout for open doors for sharing Jesus. Paul says in verses 8 and 9, "But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened for me." So Paul had a desire to go to Macedonia, travel through Macedonia. He had a desire to go to Corinth and spend the winter there in Corinth. But right now, I mean, he had this plan to go to them, but right now he sensed from the Lord that the very best place for him to be was Ephesus. Why? Because God had opened a great door for effective work. It must be that people in Ephesus were responding to the gospel in an exciting way. And so Paul wasn't going to bail on his fellow co-workers in that moment and say, okay, guys, up to you, because I want to go to Macedonia and Corinth. No, he was hanging on at least till Pentecost there to make sure that this work that was moving at a great pace would continue in the Lord. One of the things that Paul asked the church in Colossae, in the book of Colossians, he asked them to pray that the Lord would open a door for His message, that He might proclaim the gospel clearly as He ought. And we ought to be praying prayers like that. Lord, please open a door for me. Open a door for the next thing You want me to do, the work You want me to be involved in, the kingdom work You want me to be involved in. Please open a door. And we ought to pray that prayer for ourselves and for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, that God would open doors for us. So we ought to be on the lookout. You're on vacation. Be on the lookout for the open door to share the gospel. You're filling up your car at the gas station. Be on the lookout for the open door to share the gospel. You're taking your kid to school. Be on the lookout for the open door. You're going to work. You're watering your lawn this summer. Be on the lookout for the open door to proclaim the gospel. Because God is calling people to Himself all the time, right here in our midst, or else Jesus would have come back already. God is wanting people to be saved. And who's going to tell them? Who are they going to hear from unless there's a preacher? Who's the preacher? That's you. You're the one to proclaim the good news. Be on the lookout for the open door like Paul was in Ephesus. Next, our plans should not be deterred by opposition. In the midst of pursuing this open door of ministry in Ephesus, Paul said, "And there are many who oppose me." Verse 9. There are many people who oppose Paul. See, we should expect, if we're doing kingdom work, that opposition is going to come to that work. So what we sometimes do is, oh man, this got uncomfortable at the office place when I started to talk about Jesus. Maybe I'm using the wrong tactic and I shouldn't really talk about Him so much. You know, at the water cooler, maybe I should go to a small corner of the lunchroom. Or maybe I should wait till I'm outside somewhere. Oh man, you know, that guy got frustrated at me. Maybe I shouldn't talk about Jesus so much to him. Well, maybe it's just not politically correct here to share the gospel. Maybe I should invite him to coffee outside. Oh no, that's wrong to invite him to coffee too. Maybe they'll come to church with me on Easter. Ooh, but how do I get that invitation to them talking to Jesus when they made it a policy in the workplace? And we make all these excuses in our head for why there's opposition and we must be doing it wrong somehow. When the Bible tells us clearly, when we proclaim the gospel, there's going to be opposition. Those who want to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. A couple of commentators I read this week said it this way: the gospel always meets resistance because it topples all persons from their thrones, great and small. I like that, because we're to be in kingdom work. And when we pursue another kingdom with Jesus in charge, it topples others from their thrones. Hostility, another commentator says, is no hindrance to the gospel. Another said, evangelism flourishes under fierce opposition. The truth is, if there is opposition in what you're doing according to the kingdom, you're probably doing it right. Because the evil one is all opposed to what you're doing. There's going to be opposition. Now, we want to make fools of ourselves and be harsh with people. That's not the way of Jesus. But if you're in a gentle, loving way proclaiming Jesus, you're getting opposition. Keep on keeping on. Bring the opposition on. You're being counted worthy to suffer disgrace for the sake of the name of Jesus. Go forward. Don't let opposition deter your plans one bit. If God's put something in your heart to do it, do it. If God is for us, who can be against us? Press on. As Hebrews says, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Go forward in faith, people of God, into what God is calling you to do. Next, our plans should include being gracious hosts. I think I need help. Perfect. Thank you. Our plans should include being gracious hosts. Sometimes our plans need to yield to the plans of other people. In our passage, Paul is sending Timothy, and when he passes through Corinth, he has certain expectations of the Corinthians, how they're going to treat him. Look at it in verses 10 and 11. If Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying on the work of the Lord just as I am. No one then should refuse to accept him. See, there are times when we need to put our big plans on hold so that we can help encourage other people in their big plans. That's hard to do. That's hard to do for us prideful people. We get these things in mind that we're doing this, we're doing that. We're going to this night, and over here next year, and over across there next year. And we forget, hey, there are other people all around us that God is working in them too. And they have plans that God has put in their hearts. And our call is to help them along in the way. Now, Timothy may have been a timid guy. I mean, he was young, obviously, and we read when we go into 2 Timothy, when Paul says, remember to him, the Lord has not given you a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and love and of a strong mind. Now, that sense of needing to be encouraged may have been something Timothy needed. In fact, he said, let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and life and love and faith and impurity. Paul's encouraging them, and then when he sends him off on a missionary journey, he writes ahead to the church and says, hey guys, I'm sending Timothy. Take good care of him when he's there. Listen to what he says. And you know, it's interesting, Paul has fronted Timothy with this letter that you guys who have been here through 1 Corinthians, Paul is not always gentle. And so Paul may not have been the most popular person at Corinth when Timothy steps on the scene, but he does still have some apostolic authority to say to them, listen, receive Timothy well. See that he has nothing to fear when he's with you. He's doing the work of the Lord just like I am. Don't refuse to accept this guy. And you know what? We need to be that way too. One practical application I think of is like when we have young preachers come here to speak. You know, sometimes during the summer we do some of that, and young come. That's our role as a church, is to help people on their way, or our missionaries that come through, or someone else that even just in the body of Christ, they have a plan to do something. You know, they want to reach out to a certain set of friends. You say, hey, I'll help you host an event at your house. Let's do this thing together. We help other people with their plans so that God might do a good work in them. There are times, he says here, that Paul says, to the Corinthians, send him on his way in peace so that he may return to me. There are times when the will of God for you is to give sacrificially for the plans of other people. Timothy, they were going to send him probably with, you know, some wine along there and some bread and some stuff along for his journey. Send him on, maybe a little money to pay for some things along the way. They're going to take care of him. And there are times we need to do that for people. Just be gracious with the things God's given us to help other people along in their journey. Next, our plans should include saying no. Our plans should include saying no sometimes, saying no to some things. In verse 12, Paul says, now about our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to go to you with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now. So Paul tells Apollos to go. Now, this is an interesting deal because remember, we read earlier in 1 Corinthians about this deal where there was this kind of party spirit among the Corinthians, where some people followed Paul and other people followed Apollos and other people followed Peter, and there was like this dueling preacher war that was going on in Corinthians. I like that preacher more. Well, I like that preacher more, and he's just better, whatever. And it seems as if that the Corinthians actually asked Paul to send Apollos to them, because the scripture says, now about, so it's the sixth time in the letter to the Corinthians that Paul has used this phrase, now about, and it seems every time he does that, it's about something they've asked him about to comment on, and it seems like they've asked for Apollos, and Paul writes all the way to the end of the letter, he waits to the end of the letter to tell him Apollos isn't coming now. He's not coming. You've asked for him, but Apollos isn't coming. But it's interesting, Paul has a lot of humility, because Paul, knowing that a lot of the people in Corinth preferred Apollos to him, they liked Apollos' preaching more, probably. I think that was the deal. They liked his ministry more in some way. But Paul said, hey, I urged him to go. I urged him to come to you because you wanted him to come, but he wouldn't go. This is interesting. You know, the apostle Paul, you know, the one who maybe is like the bishop, he's in charge of things in the church throughout the Asian world, goes to another preacher and says, hey man, I think you ought to go. Really, I really think you ought to go. And he says, no. You know, for Apollos, this would have been a pretty tempting deal. I mean, the people in Corinth are asking for me. They're asking that I come. They like my preaching. Huh? And now the apostle is urging me to go. It had to be pretty tempting for him. But for some reason, Apollos discerned that this was not the right time. Maybe it was the same thing as Paul, this great work in Ephesus that's going on. He needs to be there and be a part of it. Maybe he was sensing the spiritual temperature of the church at Corinth and going, no way. You know, I'm just the flavor of the month at Corinth. Next week it's going to be Peter or somebody else. I'm not going there and lending to this party spirit. We don't know. The scripture doesn't tell us why, but for some reason he discerns from the Lord that no, it's the right time. Now, I want to be careful about this because I don't want you to always say no to me when I ask you something. But there are times you ought to say no to good things. There are times you ought to say no to good things. You know, we can get so busy that we don't do anything well. Maybe the Lord's given you a certain vision and something that you're asked to do kind of is a part of it, but it kind of leads you off of what you know the Lord is calling you to do for this season, and you got to just go, I think I better say no to that. And we need to be careful because the next point is that our plan should include listening to our spiritual leaders. We need to be careful with that because God has given spiritual leaders to the church. He has given people, and we are supposed to submit to those who are in authority over us. Our plan should include listening. It's interesting, Apollos doesn't say, no, I'll never go. He says, but Scripture says, but he will go when he has the opportunity. For some reason, Apollos didn't have the opportunity right then, and he didn't go. And it's important we listen to spiritual leaders. Obviously, it was important that the Corinthians listen to Paul's leadership about Timothy, and they receive him well, this young leader, and treat him well, and send him on his way well. See, it's not that we take the voice of our spiritual leaders as the voice of God. This is God's command. If Nathan asked me to do something, I'd drop everything and just do it. No, that's not what the scripture calls us to. But we are supposed to respect them and to seek their counsel about things. I mean, if the Lord is putting something on your heart to do, hey, part of being in a church is to consult people about it. The body of Christ, ask your life group leader, ask your Bible study leader, ask an elder, ask a pastor, ask your friend in the Lord. What do you think about this? And lay yourself open to the wisdom and guidance and leadership of others about the direction you should go. In American life, we're sometimes so independent. You know what? I'm going to do this, and I know God's calling me to do this, and I'm just going. Don't anybody tell me anything different because none of you has the voice of God like I do. You know, we get prideful, we get independent, we're going to do our own thing. And you know, God's called us to be in the body of Christ together, to submit to one another as to the Lord, and to listen to our spiritual leaders who God has put in the church for their growth and for their good. So, what are the kingdom plans that God is putting in your heart to do? What are they? Do you have kingdom plans that He's put in your heart to do? If not, seek the face of God. Delight yourself in the Lord this week. Draw near to Him so that He might give you guidance. Maybe through His Word, maybe through a brother or sister in your Bible study or small group. But what are the plans God is putting in your heart to do? What does He want you to be about? Who are the people that God has put in your life that He wants you to be encouraging in the Lord? To say an encouraging word, maybe to give a word of rebuke every once in a while, maybe to share the gospel to, maybe to help them with something practically. What are the things God wants you to be about this week in relationships and caring for other people? Who are the lost people in your life that God has put in your life that He absolutely wants you to share the gospel with? Who are those people? And have you submitted your plans to the Lord? Maybe you have a plan. Maybe God's put something in your heart. Have you submitted that to the Lord to say, Lord, I'm gonna hold this with an open hand. If you want me to do something else, I'll do it. But I sense you're wanting me to do this. Are you looking for wise counsel from other people? Are you looking for people to speak into your life about what God wants you to do? These are just some of the principles. This isn't the totality of all of God's word says about seeking the will of God and what His plans are for your life. But there are a few good principles. And I want to encourage you to put some of them into practice this week and just go do something for the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thanks for the example of the Apostle Paul and Timothy and Apollos and how they sought to do your work. How they were kingdom-minded. How they sought your counsel and how they held their plans with open hands. Lord, we want to follow suit. We want to follow their good example and draw near to you. Congregation, would you just draw near to the Lord for a minute here and say, Lord, my life is your life. My time is your time. My money is your money. My days are your days. My possessions are your possessions. Show me what to do. Put your desires in my heart. Show me where you've gifted me. Lord, please open doors of opportunity to encourage your church, to build up believers in the faith, to share the good news about Jesus. Lord, open the doors. Lord, we don't want to sit around doing nothing. We want to be active for the sake of your kingdom. So show us what to do. Give us confidence in that. Lord, we'll give you all the glory for the things you accomplish through our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.